We read, setting sail from Troas, we, that's Paul and his three friends, made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So these four men, they went out and found that by the riverside, there was a place where people would gather to pray on the Sabbath day. And so they joined in and found what was quite possibly a small group of ladies meeting to pray down by the riverside. And the men went and joined them. And be as you would, start talking to one another. The ladies would be curious, where do these fellas come from? What are they doing in Philippi? The fellas would be saying, hello ladies, who are you then and what are you doing here? There would be naturally some conversation. But that conversation would very quickly turn to the affairs of God. Why? Because that's what the Apostle Paul and these other friends of his always did. Everywhere they went, they told people about the Lord God. And in particular, they told people the great news, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So although we're not told here, we know from other parts in the Acts of the Apostles and parts of Scripture that Paul would have sat down with these ladies and start to open up to them this wonderful news of how God sent his Son into the world that very first Christmas day to a manger in Bethlehem. Of course, it wasn't called Christmas Day in those days. That came a lot later. But that's what Paul would be talking about, how God sent his Son into the world. And God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived a life of holiness and perfection, which he then took and sacrificed, laid down his life on the cross at Calvary on what we now call that first Good Friday. Paul would tell them that there on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was punished for all the offences that people with which people offend a holy and a righteous God. Then in those days, and right down to you and me and Sarah here today, he would tell them how Jesus took our sins in himself as he hung on that cross and suffered our hell in our place. But his good message wouldn't stop there, because then he would tell them that 3 days later, on what we call Easter Sunday, Jesus rose with power from the dead. And he would tell them how he lives forevermore, returned to glory, to give people everlasting life. People like Sarah, and so many others of you. So that come the end of our lives, we can have the great joy and blessing of entering heaven, saved from hell and destruction and judgment, and brought to the home of our Saviour in glory. That's good news. And that's the good news that Paul would have shared with these few ladies down by the riverside there in Philippi. But just notice, in verse 14 here, if you take a look, we know something about Lydia's origins. She was not actually from Philippi. She was from the city of Thyatira, which is, in fact, in Midwest Turkey. We can have a good guess at her background, because Thyatira was a city that was populated by people who would be known as idol worshippers. In other words, they had a multiplicity of gods. Some of them made out of wood, stone, metal. They would bow down to them. They would say prayers to them. That's the kind of society that Lydia would have been brought up in, and in all probability was like it herself. She would have known nothing else. But then, for some reason or another, she emigrated to the Roman colony of Philippi across the sea in Greece. And Philippi had become by then an important administration centre for the Roman Empire. Remember, we are talking about the days of the Roman Empire. It was also, interestingly enough, what you might call the home of the Chelsea pensioners of the Roman army. Because when Roman soldiers retired, they were often retired to Philippi. It was a nice, pleasant place to be. And for some reason, Lydia emigrated to Philippi. We also know what she did for a living. She was a seller of purple goods. These were fabrics that were dyed in an expensive purple dye. And she, if you like, was therefore what we might call an upmarket market trader. And she was successful. She was good at it. How do we know? Because in verse 15 we're told she ran her own household. And that probably means in those days she had servants in the house looking after it as well. We're not told anything about a husband or children. Could possibly have been there, but we don't know. But we know she ran her own household. So she was probably pretty wealthy, and she was successful. But we also know a little more about her, because we know that God was influencing her life. She had become what is called in verse 14, a worshipper of God. In other words, she had come to believe in the God of the Jews, the God of the Old Testament. And that's why she came to be there by the riverside, a Greek lady with these other, in all probability, Jewish ladies at this place of prayer when the four gentlemen came to join her. Why has this got any relevance, apart from this word baptism, why has it got any relevance to what we are doing today? Well, the reason I was drawn to speak a little bit about this passage of Scripture is because I noticed that there's some very interesting similarities here between Lydia and Sarah. Because, you see, we are able to say of Sarah that she too has been a very successful professional lady. Those of you that know her, and she already mentioned it, she became a nurse at the Leicester Royal Infirmary, which is how she came to meet Frank. So Sarah has had a good and a successful career, and she also, like Lydia, has a very nice and comfortable home. A successful, there we call a business lady, with a nice and comfortable home. But also, she has told us, like Lydia, God was influencing her life. She told us that for a little while she went to church with her mother, Methodist Chapel. There was a Bible at home, which she brought with her to her own home. Didn't read it, she did dust it. Well, that's a step in the right direction, I guess. But it was there. And then occasionally, when Sarah felt herself to be at a very low ebb, she instinctively cried out, called out, prayed to God. So I think it's reasonable to say that, like Lydia, Sarah has known the Lord in the background of her life. I want to put it like that. But just as Lydia came to appreciate and believe in the God of the Old Testament, she never took that belief any further, other than she would meet with these ladies on a Sabbath day. And Sarah, she took her interest in God no further than, as she has told us, for good many years. And it may well be that you're in a similar situation. I think various of us who I know from here would have described ourselves in a similar way. In years gone by, we wouldn't have described ourselves as atheists. We wouldn't say that we deliberately and definitely do not believe that there is such a person as God, but it's all very vague and a long way off. and something we're very unsure about. In fact, it's interesting that Sarah said on one occasion when she cried out, Lord God, if you are there, and lots of people do that, you know. Lord, if you are there, help me. Maybe you've done that as well. Do you know what it's like? It's like taking a picture. I don't know whether you're all selfie interested. You know, whether you're a selfie person. I got a friend and he's got a selfie stick. So he holds his camera out there, you know, so he can take a picture of himself and everybody else. Whether you've taken selfies or other pictures, you know, you get a picture and it's a picture of you or whoever in the middle of the picture, but if you take the trouble to look in the background, you can see perhaps at times quite far away and usually out of focus, there might be somebody that was walking past 100 yards away behind you. You couldn't see who they were, but there's somebody there. And I often think in life, that's how God appears to people. They are at the in the middle of the picture. The picture really is about them. But somewhere way in the background, out of focus, there's this being called God. But, like Lydia, Sarah too didn't take her interest in him any further. Until Lydia met somebody. And that's what we discover next in verse 14, because we read not only about Lydia's origins, but we also read that Lydia had open ears to listen, because she was one of these ladies who heard this good news from the Apostle Paul and others that were with him. And the verse says, she heard. There's a saying these days, if somebody's talking to you or telling you something, you might say, I hear you. Which means, I've heard some words, but I'm not actually going to take any notice, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I hear you. You may even have said that yourself. All right, I've heard you. Yes, okay. And that's the end of it. Well, there's a little more to it here. When it says Lydia heard, the actual word originally means she listened with some care. She started to weigh up what she was hearing. Doesn't mean to say she accepted it and believed it, but she certainly did listen to it carefully. In other words, she gave what Paul was saying a fair hearing. She gave this good news about the Lord Jesus Christ an interest. She didn't just dismiss it, and that was that. And actually, that's exactly what happened to Sarah on the cruise that she went on. She was planning to go on a cruise when she slipped and broke her hip, so she had to go on another one. How amazing. There's God in the background saying to Sarah, she didn't realise it at the time, and she weren't very happy about it at the time, but there's God saying to her, no, Sarah, you're not going on this cruise. You're going to hang on for a bit, because I've got another cruise for you to go on, because I've got somebody I want you to meet. So she had to go on another cruise a bit later, and there she met this gentleman, Kevin, who did exactly what the Apostle Paul did here. He started sharing the good news of Jesus with Sarah, just as Paul shared it with Lydia. And as Sarah said, she heard. She listened. She didn't just say, as some might say, oh, how very nice for you, Sarah. Very good. Very nice for you. And that's the end of their interest. No. Sarah didn't shut off. She didn't dismiss it. She gave what Kevin had to say some serious thought. Let me ask you all this morning, how are you hearing this morning? How's your hearing? Are you tuned in? You know, if you've you know, you tune in your hearing out, how it goes, you know, are you tuning in to what you're hearing this morning? To what Sarah has been telling us and what I'm trying to share with you. What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to say to us, oh, very nice, very nice? Do you realise, folks, I don't believe any of us are here by accident this morning. I believe we're here because God has got a purpose for us. He's speaking to us. Are you listening? Are you hearing what he's got to say? And are you interested? Are you willing to give this good news about the Lord Jesus Christ some thought and not just dismiss it? Because neither Lydia nor Sarah dismissed it. They listened. But that's not the end of the story, because there's just one more thing. In verses 14 and 15, we read that then Lydia had an opened heart to believe. An opened heart to believe. Because as she heard this good news, we read these remarkable words, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart, right there in verse 14. So that now you notice, she began to pay attention. Now there's another step, a big step forward. Up to now she's been hearing, listening, interested, yes. But now the Lord opens her heart. In other words, this good news starts to travel from her ears to her heart. In other words, it begins to sink in really deeply. And Lydia began to take it to heart. She must have started to have a great sense that when the Lord Jesus Christ came and lived and died on the cross, well, actually, he did that for me. Not just for anybody and everybody. But yes, he meant it for me. He paid for my sins, as Sarah has told us. He forgave me for all the wrongs I have done, as Sarah has told us. In other words, to pay attention to this message is to take it very personally. To take it personally. To take it to yourself. And that's exactly what Sarah began to do. As the months went on, she found a church here and came and joined us, as she's told you, on the Christmas Eve of 2017. I actually remember the evening I was here. If you've not been, we have what we call a candlelit carol service. And that was the occasion. I remember this, to me, young lady walking in. And I happened to be at the back, so I shook her hand and welcomed her, and she came in, and she's been coming ever since, praise God. And as these months and weeks went by, she started, as she's told us, to read her Bible, begin to pray, begin to meet with Margaret, who sat at the front here with her, read the Bible with Margaret. Together they would talk about it and share it. And what happened? The Lord opened her heart to receive the Saviour for herself. So she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her own personal Lord and Saviour. And as a result of that, she came and asked, "Can I be baptised?" So here we are this morning. That's how it comes about. It happened for Lydia. And it's happened in so much of a similar way for Sarah as well. And that's what attracted me to this passage of scripture. When Sarah asked me if I'd baptise her, I thought, I know what I want to talk about. And here it is. One last thing. You notice in verse 15 that then Lydia wanted to show the genuineness of her faith by opening her house to serve. She opened her house to serve. She obviously took Paul and his friends home with her and introduced them and their message to her household. And they too heard. And they too paid attention. And they too believed in the Saviour, so that Lydia, along with her whole household, we are told in verse 15, were baptised. And then, once she was baptised, she said, well, it's not going to stop there. Friends, this is not the end of the story. As Sarah has already said, this is not the end of her Christian experience. It's just very much at the beginning. Was it Churchill who said, this might be the end of the beginning, but it's not the end itself? Because Lydia then wanted to go on and serve the Lord. If I can open up my house and use it for the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's what I'm going to do. That was what Lydia wanted to do. I don't know how the Lord might lead you, Sarah, to serve him in the days ahead. I'm sure he will. And you need to be sensitive to how he will invite you into his service as time goes by. But we are grateful for that sense of willingness, wanting to serve the Lord now and follow him for the rest of your life. And what I know is this, that Sarah would love everyone else here to find the same Saviour that she has found, to come and enjoy the great blessing of knowing him and serving him for the rest of your life.